Seattle Mayor Ed Murray and former Massachusetts Member of Congress Barney Frank go way back. They met through the nonprofit Gay and Lesbian Victory Institute. While Ed Murray was fighting for equal rights in this Washington, Frank was making history in the other. He was the first member of Congress to come out as gay and the first member to marry his same-sex partner. Barney Frank retired from politics a couple of years ago. He's just published a memoir. It's called Frank. The story starts when he was just a kid in the 1950s.
I was 13 in 1953 when I first realized I was gay, and I was horrified. I was depressed. I figured I would never be able to tell anybody. I didn't know what to do about it. By 54, I knew that I also would like to be in politics, and I was aware that there was simply no way the two were reconcilable, that the only way to have any kind of a political career was to conceal my homosexuality. Later on, I began to think, well, maybe I can work for other people for a brief period of time and get out before the secret is out. But, for instance, in 1954, Dwight Eisenhower, who was a reasonable man, a moderate Republican by today's standards, promulgated an executive order that said those of us who were homosexual couldn't get security clearances, and not simply because we might be blackmailed, but because we were inherently unworthy, immoral. As I mentioned in the book, I was watching and cheering a man named Joseph Welch, who was a liberal lawyer attacking that great demagogue, Senator Joseph McCarthy. And one of his most effective things was to allude to the fact that McCarthy's chief aide, Roy Cohn, was homosexual. And what was paradoxical to me was, as a young man who knew I was homosexual, I was cheering this anti-homosexual remark because it never occurred to me that we had a chance to be anything else.
Why weren't you discouraged from this life in the public sector?
Well, I wanted it very much. And here's the other thing. I was not living an active homosexual life and then deciding I had to give it up. I was 14. I hadn't done anything yet. And as we all know, it is a lot easier, at least theoretically, not to do something in the first place than to stop doing it. So I unwisely thought then, well, this is not a big deal. I can sort of, you know, live without a sex life. And I knew what politics was like, and there were things I wanted to do. I hated racism. I had these liberal urges when I was 14, 15. But I also knew that I was good at it because it was a game of verbal wit. And I had known by then that I was good at arguing. I had no mechanical skills. I couldn't fix things. I have no sense of direction. But I knew I was good at arguing.
So that was it? That was the realm for you?
I saw this is sort of verbal combat that, you know, I enjoyed sports, but I knew I didn't have the talent to be a professional athlete. But I thought, yeah, I could be good at this.
Everybody who knows who you are knows that you're, you know, a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, if that's the way you describe liberals these days. I'm not sure. So what was at the top of your agenda when you headed to Washington, D.C.?
Two things. One, fighting poverty. But I got to say, then and now, nothing has ever troubled me as much as a poor child, as a four-year-old, five-year-old. You know, some adults have made bad choices, and sometimes they're not sympathetic figures. But no four-year-old or five-year-old deserves to be hungry and cold and live in bad circumstances. Secondly, I had always been outraged by discrimination. Now, I began by being outraged by racial discrimination, by the murder of a 14-year-old, exactly my age, Emmett Till, in Mississippi. So that kind of racism, black people being unprotected by the federal government, really troubled me. By 1980, I had added fighting anti-gay prejudice to my list. I knew when I got there were two public policies I wanted to change. First, there was this Eisenhower order that still existed that said I couldn't get a security clearance because I was a bad person. Secondly, incredibly, people didn't realize this, there was on the books of the American law books, a provision of immigration law that said that homosexuals can't come here. And I was determined to get rid of them, and within 15 years, frankly, I did.
15 years seems quick in the perspective of history, but not quick probably when you were in the midst of it.
Well, I was aware we were making progress. There needed to be general progress in diminishing the prejudice before you could clean up the specifics.
When you came out, how much pressure did you feel from the gay community to be the standard bearer for gay rights issues above all the other liberal causes that were important to you?
None, because I decided that myself. In 1972, that is, there was no need for pressure. Look, I was unhappy about not being honest about being gay by 1972. We'd had Stonewall. You know, the excuse that it wasn't possible began to fade. After Stonewall, a lot of brave people were being out. So when I decided, when I had the opportunity to run for the legislature in 72 because of a vacancy, my decision, I made two decisions. One, I will be a coward. I will not be honest about who I am, but I will not be a hypocrite. I will continue, I will be an advocate. It was unthinkable to me that I would have this status myself and not fight against it. Now, I didn't expect to be as prominent as I became because I assumed some more senior members would also be doing that. So I agreed to sponsor the bill in a questionnaire. Turns out I was the only one who did it. But from that day on, from the day I decided to run, I could justify not being honest about being gay only by doing everything I could to be the advocate.
I'm talking to Barney Frank. He's the former Massachusetts congressman who has a new memoir called Frank. Even though attitudes have changed remarkably, you write about that in the book, and you only have to look around, especially if you live in the city of Seattle, to see how things have changed in the 60 years, I guess, since you decided that you wanted to go into politics as a 14-year-old kid. Thinking back to that 13, 14-year-old kid who imagined that his life would always be a denial of who he was, could you have imagined that this is how life would be in 2015 America?
No. In fact, as I said, I filed the first gay rights bill in 1972. So for 43 years, I've been active. And until about 5 years ago, I finally said, okay, this is happening. But until about 5 years ago, if at any point during that period you had said to me, what will things be like on the LGBT front 3 years later, I would have been too pessimistic. I saw progress, but the progress has been quicker and quicker. And I think the key is that as we have become honest about ourselves and who we are and stopped hiding, our reality has defeated the prejudice. And it's also the case, and this is why we've made more progress on gender and sexual orientation than race, and I wish this wasn't the case. But gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people have all gay relatives, and African-Americans don't. It's been harder on the race front, to my regret. But once people began to realize that we were their brothers and cousins and teachers and et cetera, this thing dissolved at a more rapid rate than I thought. And then again, there was the other factor. The bigots made the choice. We can't just say we don't like these people, that they're immoral. That won't work in America. We have to say there'll be negative consequences. Nothing that's been done. We joined the military. There wasn't a single military problem that anybody's aware of. People get married. It didn't disturb anybody's marriage. None of the projected negative consequences have worked, and that's allowed us to succeed.
Former Massachusetts member of Congress Barney Frank, he's just published a new memoir, and it's called, very fittingly, Frank.